we'll just start this, and then you just talk into the microphone.
Oh, okay, like that?
Yeah, so yeah. We're here. Welcome to the show. So me and Ian are here.
Hello.
We're being chauffeured to the airport.
By Poonmaster Flex.
By Poonmaster Flex in the Poonmobile.
The Poontastic Voyage.
Yeah.
The Poontastic Voyager, that's what it should be called.
Yeah, because it's a minivan, a Dodge Voyager that she drives. That's how she gets her kids to soccer.
In the Dodge Voyager.
Yeah.
Every soccer practice is an adventure.
Yeah. A voyage.
Mm-hmm.
And they turn on the Croods.
Yes.
On DVD, on an overhead DVD player that she had installed.
I thought they would go with Minions, the Minion movie, just on loop.
Nope.
Over and over again.
No, they're too white trash for Minions. They just watch Croods. The only movie that's allowed in the house.
Croods and maybe Caillou.
Yeah, a little Caillou, bald fuck.
I think every parent just like had a bristled when I said the word Caillou out loud.
I don't really know what Caillou is. It just looks like a little cancer child.
He does look like he has like he's had some kind of horrible sickness.
Yeah, he's just bald and like exploring the world, but it all seems like a make-a-wish kind of situation every time I see it.
I want to learn what a fire truck is before my leukemia takes my soul.
Yeah. I was looking at a Curious George book.
Mm-hmm.
There's one where he goes to, I think, a parade or it's the circus or something. And he has this bugle, which like the man in the yellow hat gave him. And he's just like blowing it like an asshole the whole time. And you're like, why would you give this monkey a bugle to blow? Also, the monkey is like watching an animal parade. You're like, that's not weird at all. And then he like lets the giraffe eat the bugle, and the bugle gets stuck in the giraffe's throat. But the giraffe doesn't die, you know, it's just like sick. And then they take the bugle out and they're like, oh, George, you shouldn't shove a bugle down a giraffe's throat.
It seems like that was kind of a very specific lesson to teach to kids. It's not like, you know, hey, you should share or listen to your parents. It's don't shove things in the throat of a giraffe.
Right. Don't murder an animal by feeding it not food.
Do you think like Curious George watches the sort of circus the way we would watch, you know, like slaves being forced to perform for us? Like if there was a circus where basically there was a tortured, you know, prisoner riding a unicycle?
Maybe.
Would you go to a prison circus? I mean, they used to have prison. I think they still have prison rodeos in some places, but like a prisoner circus. All of them are convicted criminals. All of them are fabulous performers.
Do they get like a commuted sentence or something for circusing or some kind of benefits?
I guess they get the benefit of being in the circus. And it's probably better than being in prison all day.
Yeah.
But I think there probably would be some jobs that are definitely better than others. Like, being the ringmaster, you don't really have to do anything.
Yeah.
But if you're, say, you know, I guess if you're the human cannonball, you probably have to do the least. Because you basically just get fired out of the cannon and then into that net.
That's true. You just in a cannon and then not in a cannon.
Exactly.
And it's not really up to you what happens.
Right. It seemed like the worst would be if you had to learn to be a trapeze artist.
Yeah. Try to not die.
Yeah, try to not die. Well, I guess if you were like, maybe they would just always hope to get a cat burglar every year.
Yeah, like if you were the guy who had to like stick his head in the lion's mouth and stuff.
Oh, being
the lion
tamer. I mean,
that seems like something you should be trained for to me.
You can't just like shove some guy. I mean, maybe that would be part of the appeal is like, here's a guy who's, you know, Hard Mike was busted for meth possession 3 years, and now he's our lion tamer.
That's true.
You have this meth head that's just trying to jam his whole body inside the lion.
Do you remember when we went to the circus one time, and it was like Ringling Brothers, and it was like the farewell tour of Gunther Gable Williams, the famous lion tamer. But like,
I remember that and how big a deal it seemed to be for the circus, but I had sort of no emotional connection to that whatsoever.
That's exactly what I thought. And also, I was like, you guys have to tell us that this guy's a lion, like a famous lion tamer. I was like, I don't know. And then I started wondering, like, what if he's not even a famous lion tamer? What if he's just some fucking old guy who does this? And they're like, let's just pretend like he's the biggest name in lion taming. It's not like there's a lot of competition.
See, when I try to picture this cup in my head, all I can picture is, and this will get a little bit inside Colorado for a second. Wait,
there's a cup that you got. It was like you would go to the circus and they would give you a snow cone and like a commemorative cup.
Mm-hmm. And they had a picture of Gunther Gable Williams on the cup, but whenever I try to picture him, all I can picture is Jake Jabs, who's a guy who sells furniture around here, but he always sells furniture. And I remember this very distinctly as a kid, because he would sell like a mattress or a sofa or something, and there'd be like a lion or a tiger just hanging out on it.
Yeah.
And I always wanted to go to this furniture store because I believed there were wild animals just walking around.
Yeah, at American Furniture Warehouse, that's how they would like promote it. Like, so it'd be like, check out this new sofa set, and there'd be like a puma walking on it. Or like, check out this queen bed, and there's a lion laying on it. And you're like, well, if it's good enough for a lion,
it's good enough for me.
Surely. There was, I did once go to American Furniture Warehouse, and there was a tiger there. And it was just in like a warehouse on like a cement floor in a chain link cage. So it was like a little bit bigger than its body.
It was like, so it was sort of being like held prisoner there. It was like Guantanamo Bay for tigers.
Definitely. It was like Hannibal Lecter. It's like, ooh, this is a good idea. Like promotion for furniture. Get like Charles Manson. And, like we're bringing in Charles Manson today. And he'll be sitting on these couches. So if you want one, Manson was on.
The Manson special?
Yeah. Wouldn't that be an interesting story?
The Manson family sectional?
Yeah.
It really comes apart, you know, so that way you could have sort of a day bed.
Yeah, and then there'd always be like Jake Jabs would be on the couch with a tiger or something like that, which is always nice. It was like, I don't know why that was such a selling point. Like, ooh, look at this daring guy sitting on a couch with a tiger that's clearly drugged out of its goddamn mind.
The stoned animals next to him, but...
yeah.
I guess it's one of those, like, if you had to have a choice between, like, a hot babe and a tiger, at some point he's like, I'd rather have a tiger.
I mean, it's probably cheaper. And they don't want, like, residuals or anything because they don't know what that is.
That's true. You basically pay for the tiger once, and that's it.
Well, then they started doing the commercials, and they still had the tigers in them, but then it was Jake Jabb's daughter.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And what it would do, they had this, like, generic footage of a sailboat out sailing, and it's like, Jake is out on vacation, so while he's out, we are gonna fuck him hard and sell this furniture way too cheap.
Yeah.
You know, so let's screw him to the wall before he gets back, so when he gets back, he just bursts into tears.
Everything's a dollar.
Yeah, it was a weird sales tactic of like, hey, you know this guy, and he's my dad? Let's fuck him. Wouldn't it be funny, a funny joke? For some reason, he left us in charge of the business, and we decided to run it into the ground. And to make a commercial to that effect.
It's a little bit like saying, you know, it would be a funny joke if our parents went on vacation and be like, let's burn down the house.
Yeah, let's just break everything. Let's ruin everything, and then they'll come back and we'll be like, gotcha. I mean, there's no reversing it, but we got you.
I mean, it's kind of like in Poon Master Flex's family. You know, if she decided, you know what, I'm just going to take these dime bags of cocaine and start selling them for, you know, way under street value.
Yeah, like, it would be a funny joke for her, like, if she was...
Apparently
is Coke Lords.
I think so. I mean, we met them at Christmas time. They seem very Coke Lordy to me.
Yeah, they seem coked up as hell, I gotta say. I've seen someone in the throes.
Yeah.
Chasing the polar bear, as they say. And that was definitely going on.
Chasing the helpful snowman. Oh, wait.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, that should be the thing that we'll call, like, using cocaine is chasing the helpful snowman, and that's how you could promote the show.
Do you think anyone has ever checked out my website because it sounds like a cocaine dealer website?
I mean, I guess you would know from, like, if you looked at your sort of Google search results or something like that.
You know, I looked at those. So I look at those probably, like, 2 or 3 times a year for no real reason, just because I'm like, huh, I wonder what's going on. And things are way down. So good news. And also, almost all of my audience is from Eastern Europe, like Russia and stuff like that, which makes me just think that somehow my website is being hacked, but I don't know how.
Oh, like basically the major traffic of your website are hackers, but you don't mind because it's like, traffic's traffic.
Yeah. I'm still rolling those papers.
Yeah.
Counting paper, printing paper.
Printing money.
Someone sent me a ream of printer paper.
You're stamping metal into coin shapes.
Yeah.
You're collecting your Nuka-Cola caps.
I think it's weird that they call it printing money, like if you're making a lot of money, because it's like, I don't think that the people who work at the money printing place, the mint, really make that much. That seems like basically a little better than a janitor. Like, I don't think they're... It's not like some guys there artisanally drawing George Washington every day.
It is kind of like if you work for a Kinko's or a Xerox and you have to do all the special business jobs.
Yeah, you're just, like, printing stuff. I mean, how hard is that?
You're not, like, putting... Like, taking the metal plates and pushing them down and then taking the metal plates out and...
No.
Rearranging them.
No, you're just, like, probably pushing... It's probably like M&M in 8 Mile. You just push a button... Take some extra paper off a thing and then send it down the line.
Yep.
And then go to a rap battle.
Yeah, I think that's what everyone does at the Mint, is they just go to a rap battle immediately afterwards.
Yeah. That would be cool.
Or they go chase the helpful snowman.
Yeah, and then their rap group is called the Mint.
Do you think, like, maybe the Mint, you know, like, when they're printing money, they find, like, good rejects to hand people for snorting cocaine?
Like, they're like, this is a hundo that's not acceptable, so
yeah, you might as well, like, use this. You know, there's a hundo that's, you know, the serial number's wrong, or there's a $100 bill that has Adolf Hitler on it.
Oh, God, that would be amazing. They should print one.
The Hitler bill?
Yeah. And then somehow make it illegal to, like, hoard it, you know? You have to spend it if you get it.
So there's sort of a dual law here where you have to, once you get it, you have to spend it, like, almost immediately.
Well, I just don't want to print one, because then if someone just saves it and puts it in their living room, then that was a waste. But if it keeps circulating and you're like, and you know, like every couple weeks on the news, they're like, the Hitler bill was in town in some, you know, in Iowa or something like that.
The Hitler bill stopped by today.
The Hitler 100. Yeah, I would enjoy that. Companies need to do... I was saying the other day, like, you know, they make these jelly beans, all these crazy flavors.
Uh-huh.
I was saying it would be nice if they, like, if Jelly Belly was like, we are going to make one jelly bean that tastes like cum.
I think we talked about that.
And they should just put it in there.
It's going to have the texture of cum, too, right? I think we went over that.
Maybe.
Yeah, because it's like if you want the buttered popcorn thing.
Oh, yeah, you're right. We did talk about that. Well, shit.
Yeah, that's
everything.
Right. That... There's our episode. Woo!
It is the first recording of 2016.
It is.
Which is pretty exciting. How was your New Year?
It was pretty good.
Celebration.
We went down to a local Mexican eatery to have some margaritas.
Uh-huh.
At first, which was an ambitious start to the evening. Then we went over, played with my friend's kids.
Uh-huh.
Which is a quick way to burn off a lot of booze.
Yeah.
We went to another local bar. And I won a hoodie in a rock, paper, scissors contest against my friend Pat.
Good.
Occasional listener to the show.
Okay. If you say so.
And I think if he is listening, I want to just say again, scissors beats paper. Boom.
I'll confirm that.
Yeah. But, like, overall, like, not too, you know, not too terribly exciting. Like, one member of our party got a little too drunk.
Yeah, I saw a picture of, it was his butt, and there was just stuff. In his butt.
Right. And you think you'd outgrow that, but you really don't.
Yeah, it was like bottle caps in his butt because he was like laying on his stomach.
He got like to that point of drunk where he, you know, he sort of threw up, but then he was sort of laying on the floor getting the spins.
Yeah.
You know, sort of hoping the world will just kind of go away for a little bit.
Yeah.
And once he kind of was laying, you know, face up, and then he turned and laid face down. But the problem was he laid face down and he just had this huge plumber crack.
Yeah. It looked like his whole butt was out. Yeah. I thought you guys did that.
No, that was how his butt was.
Oh, well, then that's his fault.
Like, that's how he passed out. I mean, I've tried to explain that, you know, to the police. That's how my dates end, but...
Yeah, I mean, that is... It does sound like if you didn't want to have a bunch of beer caps just layered in your butt crack, you wouldn't pass out that way. But I guess that's what I'm saying.
Like, there's sort of a, you know, if we had pulled down his pants and put the beer caps in there, that would have been way too far.
Yeah, that's gross.
But, like, that butt crack was just there. We could have stacked the butt, like, the bottle caps on top to sort of tastefully cover his butt crack.
That's true.
Kind of like a beer thong.
Helping him out.
Yeah. The most uncomfortable thong ever. It's got all this little sort of, serrated metal on it.
I was saying we were driving home, and I was like... That sounds like Ian had like a nice, you know, 21-year-old New Year's kind of event.
That's about right. I mean, it's because it feels like it's going to be really, you're going to like, we're going to rage all night. And someone gets drunk way too early. And
Yeah.
We wind up sort of sitting around. One person, two members of our party were in, like, in a bedroom sleeping.
Oh, yeah.
Not
before
actually.
Before midnight.
Yeah, well, before midnight.
Yeah.
We had one person in our party. She's a nice, you know, she's a nice young woman, but she was not equipped to stay up until midnight.
Yeah.
I just one of those, like, it was 9, 8, like, it was like 7 or 8, and she's like, I'll be in bed in an hour.
How? That early?
Yeah.
Why so early?
I think 2 margaritas helped.
Yeah, and was just like, I'm ready to pass out.
Right, it's like, I'm ready
that's
to be
so early.
Drunk. But yeah, I think that's, you know, that's always hard if you're the kind of person, because I've never really been the person, I've always thought early to bed, early to rise was kind of bullshit.
I agree.
And so, like, for me, staying up to midnight is kind of like it's a semi-normal thing.
That's my bedtime.
Yeah, like, that's around.
That's what I've declared to be the time, like, that I have to force myself to get in bed, even right. if I'm not sleepy. Yeah, which I keep fucking up. I mean, New Year's, obviously, we stayed up till, like, 2:30.
Yeah.
So, but that's fine. But then last night, we stayed up too late watching Making a Murderer.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I gotta yell at the TV, and the cat gets very distressed. Because we're, like, yelling at the TV and at each other. Not at each other, but we're yelling things.
You're sort of yelling things in shock
and disgust.
What the
fuck? Yeah.
Yeah,
and the cat comes over, like, are you guys okay? What's going on?
And you want the cat to sort of fix the various injustices in this Wisconsin courtroom.
Which she kind of did. She curled up on Poon Master, and then she was, like, in cat donut shape and was
right.
kept hitting herself in the face with her tail. Like, the tip of it was going up and down, and it kept hitting her in the face, and she was getting really frustrated. Like, anyone else could do something about that. And it's like, you know, you can just stop this anytime.
You have control of your tail.
That's a part that is attached to you. Like, it'd be a lot easier if you just stopped hitting yourself with your tail or put your paw over the top of it than to give us a dirty look. Like, you're pissed off.
I mean, it's like if she were a dog, she'd be flapping herself with her own tail just over and over again.
Yeah. It was crazy. It was kind of slow-mo. You mm-hmm. know, it was like, hit. Just like, and it was hitting her in the eyes and the nose, and she would, like, pull her face back, but then it would just happen again. So it did, that did make it better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna lie, at least temporarily, it was very much what was needed in that moment.
So we're just driving by a gas station right now.
Yeah.
And you know what it advertised they have? Frogs.
That said they have frogs?
Yeah, it said we have frogs.
For eating, or it just said frogs?
Just said we have frogs.
Is that, I noticed the pumps were all closed, maybe they have like an infestation and that's why they can't open?
You know, that some like they've been imprisoning too many Jews in the basement. And so, you know, modern day Moses is saying, let my people go, so they have a plague of frogs on their gas station.
It could be, yeah. We have frogs. Closed.
Closed due to biblical plague.
Yeah.
They try to pump gas and just blood comes out.
Oh, God. My car doesn't run on blood.
My car runs on diesel blood, not this unleaded blood.
This blood is not premium, like you said it was. This is clearly just from some bum.
Exactly.
And this is plasma.
Yeah.
I know the difference.
Isn't even animal blood, human blood. This is just animal blood. I was about to say plant blood, but then, you know, plants don't really have blood.
They just recently did a blood drive at my work.
For plants?
No, for people.
Oh. Wow.
And, you know, there are various, like, skids that come in and out of my work. And one of them definitely donated blood and just made me question the whole screening process. Because I was just like, I don't think I want this guy's blood.
Like, he just walked in and you're like, yeah, no.
Yeah. I mean, he's not the kind of person they would put on the poster to advertise. He's this weird guy. You know what's weird about him, too? He carries a bunch of papers with him all the time.
Uh-huh.
But instead of carrying them in, like, a bag or a briefcase or even a folder of some kind, he carries them in like a 5-gallon bucket, and it still has the label on the outside that says donut glaze.
So I mean, I try to think of like bad things in which to carry a lot of papers, and bucket is pretty high on that list.
Yeah, I mean, it does it causes the obvious first problem of all his papers are curled in a circle.
Yeah.
I mean, circle to me isn't ideally how you want to store your papers in a big Like, basically, it's like a big wad of money, except it's just crappy papers.
You basically have the problem going right away of that you're trying to put a square peg in a round hole.
Exactly, like that's what you're doing.
That's exactly like, what that's you're exactly doing over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Like, just constantly. And, you know, like, how would you even do that in any kind of... I guess what I've imagined, if I've ever had papers in a bucket...
Yeah.
It was usually one of those, like when you're moving out of a house.
Sure.
Right? And there's always that sort of the last things that you get where you know, everything else is packed really carefully and with, like, a lot of consideration.
Yeah, and then you just have, like, a shampoo bottle and a soap dish and, like, a dish drainer all in the garbage can.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I'll just put it in the garbage can and fucking take it. Or, like, you just roll it up in a blanket.
Right.
Take it over.
And it's like those, like, the things, the papers that tend to be in that sort of bucket or trash can... are usually, on, you know, oddly enough, the most important papers. They're usually like the leasing papers for your old place or your new place.
Yeah, it's something that you can't get rid of, but also you're just like, I've worn out my ability to care about this, like to care about my own life.
Right.
Moving is horrible. Like, moving is the worst thing, I think, that I've experienced. They say it's like one of the most stressful things.
Mm-hmm.
I moved like 2 blocks last time and it was horrible. Like, it was so much work. It took forever. It felt like it took like 3 months to actually be unpacked. And I didn't even have that much stuff.
Once I did, like an Amazon local had a deal on movers.
Uh-huh.
And it was sort of like, I was thinking like, I'm not moving that far. It was like 2 miles or something.
Uh-huh.
But it was just like, you know what? Screw it. I'll just do it. You know,
oh, you've
like
done it, this.
I've done this.
You've hired the movers.
I hired the movers. I didn't have that much stuff, but it was like, it was one of those, you know, I sat down and I thought about it and it was like, you know, and it was like the 2 movers and the truck and everything all day was like $125.
That's it?
Like, or $200.
That seems worth it.
Was totally worth it. Because like when I, you know, all I had to do was like, I packed up all the boxes. I packed up all the stuff.
Yeah.
And they took it from my old place to my new place. Like, up the, you know, I lived on a 4th floor apartment, so they took it upstairs.
Mm.
All of my boxes, everything was moved.
How long did it take?
It took, like, I would say, it took the movers probably a couple of hours.
Yeah.
Like, I think it took them, gosh, I want to say, like, 3, you know, it took them, like, 3 or 4 hours.
See, this has always been my fantasy. Well, no, my fantasy is to just leave all my shit
right. And
buy new shit.
Yeah.
And just have that at my new place.
Your fantasy is just to, like, have every... I think the real fantasy is to just have everything, like, blip and teleport.
Yeah.
But, like, the second one is just to abandon everything and then buy all new things.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. The real fantasy is to teleport it and then be able to move it like fucking Google SketchUp.
Yeah.
Like, click on it with my computer and then the couch just hovers across the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And then goes halfway into the floor because I don't know how to work it right.
Cassie's been facing the corner. Poonmaster Flex has been facing the corner the whole time.
Exactly.
Because it's like,
she's half stuck in the wall.
I don't know how to rotate the people. Right. Yeah.
But yeah, it's always been like, I've always thought like, next time is the time when I move that I'm going to save money and have people move for me. Because you know what else is good about that? I would think. So they move all the shit into the house, and then while they're going to get more shit, you can be unpacking the shit they brought. Right? I mean,
yeah.
And you just, like, unpack everything.
Yeah, you can kind of start trying to figure out, like, where furniture goes.
Yeah.
Because you can kind of plow it out and say, like, I want the couch to go here, I want this couch to go there, you know, I want to do this with that, I want to put this over here. It's also nice because, like, one of the other nice things about movers is that you don't have to, like, bug a friend.
Yeah.
Because the worst, you know, moving yourself is the worst, but like helping someone else move is always like a pain.
Oh. I would rather move myself and do it all by myself than help a friend move their shit.
Is that when I've helped friends move before, I realize like when I got over to their house, I think part of my problem with moving is that one of the people I've helped move in sort of recent memory.
Yeah.
Are people like I move around quite a bit.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty good at packing things.
Yeah.
And I also don't accumulate a whole bunch of junk because I move around all the time, you know, right. Sort of rolling stones and moss.
Yeah.
But I was helping a friend move who had not moved in a decade.
Yeah.
She was in one spot and like going through the boxes of stuff that she was going to pack. And I'm like, why are you taking this?
Yeah.
it was sort of old articles that she had from graduate school that she'd printed out. And I was like, why are you taking these? She's like, I'm going to read them again someday. No, you're not.
Yeah.
And you, if you can, get them on the internet.
Yeah.
They're still there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember you telling me, this was years ago, but you were helping a friend move who was, like, not well packed.
Oh, God.
And you were saying, like, he had, like, a Wolverine poster that was tacked to the wall and was ripped. And he was like, oh, yeah, we're going to go ahead and pack that. And you're just like, what the fuck? A ripped Wolverine poster?
It's the kind of thing you could get at any comic store for $7 or, like, any flea market for, like, $3.
And it's not ripped. Like, you know,
it's not it's intact.
Yeah.
I'd be like, just get another one. But I think he was also the one who I was going through some of the boxes, and there was a... This was, I think, 2005 or so.
Yeah.
So cassette tapes were well out.
Yeah.
But he had the Lion King soundtrack cassette tape box, but not the cassette itself, just the box.
And this was something he was going to bring.
This was something that was in the moving truck, and I was like, what are we even doing? Like, did you, you know, it's a, you, the one saving grace of moving, honestly, is like where you sit down like a couple of months before you move and you say, what do I actually want?
Yeah. I read this essay once and it was pretty interesting where the guy says every 2 or 3 years, he basically plans his suicide. And so what that means is like he cleans out all his shit that he doesn't want. He, like, basically, you know, plans to move and gets all his affairs in order and stuff like that. He doesn't actually kill himself, but he's just like, what would I want it to be like if I was going to kill myself and just leave everything? And so that is, like, one of the pluses of moving, if you do it right, is that when you get there, you're like, all right, I don't have a bunch of shit I don't want.
Right.
Because definitely, you know, the last time I moved, I got rid of a ton of stuff because I'd lived in my apartment for 8 years and it was 2 bedrooms and then went to studio. And so I was getting rid of like, but I mean, I had like built brick and board bookshelves in my old place. Mm-hmm. And I had probably 80 cinder blocks in my old 2-bedroom apartment that I had to like take outside and stack outside for someone to pick up. But I mean, it was a lot of work. And horrible. And so I got rid of a ton of shit. But then I was surprised that even when I moved out of my small place into a new place, I got rid of a bunch of shit that time too.
Is that you always get rid of stuff because it's, you know, whenever you're moving, you always say, do I want to put this in a box?
Yeah.
And then the other question is like, do I want to get more boxes?
Well, and then the more you pack and move, the less you want to move other stuff. Like the more... The longer you go, the less valuable stuff is. Like, you start being like, well, I could just buy a new set of knives.
Is that you decide some stuff is, like, you're going to have, like, you know you're going to have to take. But, you know, and then, like you said, you have those moments where I've looked around and be like, you know, all I really need is, like, my laptop.
I know. Isn't that, like, a fantasy life, too, in a way, where you're like, I could just live in this room that had nothing in it except, like, a laptop.
Yeah.
And then just call it a life. Yeah, or like, you know, I mean, when I get towards the end, I get even less practical. And it's like really unfortunate for whatever's, you know, if I'm towards the end and I'm like, this contact solution bottle has been used twice.
Right.
I don't need to take that. Or like, I'll be like, these contact lenses I've been wearing for about 15 days, I might as well throw these out, put in that other pair, and I don't have to move those. What a good solution.
Now, I think I'm getting to the age where the good part about moving, like, or having friends who are moving,
yeah,
is that occasionally they have the sort of, I'm moving liquor bottle parties.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I did get rid of a bunch of liquor.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing where you have to start saying, like, do I want to pack this?
I know.
You know, because you can accumulate a liquor bottles, you know, and be like, oh, I'll drink this eventually, or...
I know.
I need this mixer. Which, by the way, I think that was Wilma's big contribution last year to the podcast. You now have that bourbon to drink.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, by last year, you mean like 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have some nice bourbon now instead of Albertson's
brand whiskey.
When I moved out, both of the last times I moved out, I got rid of a bunch of booze because it was stuff that, well, I had a birthday... where I think I got like 6 to 8 bottles of whiskey, which I was like, I can't decide if this is like a bad sign. Because it felt like a bad sign. Because I was like, man, if this is what everyone is like, oh, this is what will get him. Even though I don't really drink that much.
I think it's that a lot of people just, they didn't know what to get. So they all kind of came up with a, well, we know he likes whiskey. So
I mean, it's a good present. I'm not complaining. But I had a bunch of stuff left when I moved. And then you do have those liquor bottles that you're like, this has, I don't know, 8 ounces left in it. Do I really want it?
You're like, do I want to drink this whole, you know, it's like, yeah, it doesn't have that much in it. So it's not that worthwhile.
Yeah, it's not crucial. I was just remembering when you were talking about, you know, how you've gotten good at moving. But I remembered when we moved, so our dad lived in this house, and then he and his now ex-wife had like another house custom built, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
And we moved there. And I remember when we moved, because, you know, when we were kids, we were like in this weird quasi Thunderdome where like we had weird responsibilities that I don't think kids can handle. And so we had to pack our own rooms. And I remember you packed everything into one refrigerator box that was just unmovable. Like, because you just crammed everything into the one box. And then you were like, I don't care about the rest of this stuff. Like, none of the rest of this matters to me. And it was like, and that included like your bedding and your pillows and stuff. Everything you owned over there crammed into one box.
Well,
that must have weighed 100 pounds.
I still hold it's impressive that I could put everything I own into a refrigerator box.
It was. I mean, it was kind of cool, and it made sense to me at the time. I was impressed, but it was just funny because it was like, fuck this shit. This is all I'm taking. I don't know. The rest is your problem.
Well, it was like, what was I supposed to do? I didn't know, like, how my bed was going to get moved. And also, I remember having that bed. I remember that bed very distinctly because I outgrew that bed very quickly.
Yeah.
And it was sort of it was meant to be like a bunk bed.
Yeah.
But, you know, what happened is, like, once we had separate rooms, they just sort of took the bunk bed apart and put the two top things in different rooms.
Yeah.
But the problem with it was, is it had this, like, really, it had the headboard and the sort of footboard.
Yeah.
But I actually couldn't lay all the way out on it.
Right. It was like a twin bed, and it had a tall footboard and headboard.
Right. And there was no way, like, you couldn't put your feet on top of it or, you know, through it or anything else.
No.
So it was just, you know, it was like, I always had to sleep almost, you know, in a fetal position.
Yeah.
So I could fit in this bed. So when it came time to say, like, fuck this bed, I'm like, it's too small anyway.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I had no concept of moving. I didn't care. Yeah. Also, I only had one box. It's like they gave me one box. So it was the...
Okay, I'll just put...
I'll just put everything into one box.
Put shit in here. I just remembered it being, like, that one box, and it took you, like, 10 minutes. You just fucking threw everything in there. I swear to God, yeah, like, the times I've helped someone else move, and it wasn't for money or something like that. Like, one time I helped some people move for money, and they were strangers, and that was fine. But, like, other times, you know, you help them, and it's just, like, none of their shit is packed.
Yeah.
Like, I'm fine helping someone move, but I don't want to help someone pack, and they're never packed, ever.
That's the difference when you have movers, is, like, when I have movers, they're not going to pack your stuff for you.
Right.
They basically, like, take your stuff, put it in a truck, and then take it out of the truck and put it into your house.
Yeah.
I mean, they unpack basically nothing.
See, this is what I want. I want to hire someone to come into my house, pack everything, move it, and unpack it, and put it where it goes. That's what I want.
Sort of. I mean, there are movers that do that, but...
Yeah.
Do you have the movers here? Because every time I'm on the... light rail in Phoenix, I see this truck that advertises, like, shirtless movers.
No.
Where it's like they're supposedly like a bunch of hot dudes who will come and move your house for you.
No.
Sort of like Chippendales looking dudes. And you can pay either to have them with their shirts on or their shirts off.
Now, is it like, because you're in Phoenix, so is it cheaper if it's shirts off?
I don't know.
I don't really want, like, a sweaty shirtless dude, like, carrying my couch and, like, getting his chest sweat all over it.
I also kind of imagine that the sort of Chippendales thing would have like a lot of baby oil involved.
Yeah, they'd be, why is my stuff all greasy?
Yeah, why is my stuff all covered in baby oil?
Because my thing's all lubed after I hired these movers. That doesn't seem right.
That doesn't work for me at all.
No, I have never seen that. Now, so you've seen them, like, have you ever seen them in action? I mean...
No, I actually haven't. And maybe someone out there in podcast land can tell us if they've seen them in action.
We, you know what we need to do is, like, look up the Yelp reviews for them or something.
Mm.
Because I feel like that would tell, because...
That would tell us a lot about, like... First off, I mean, it seemed like they were promising basically two things. Hot guys.
Yeah.
And then good movers.
Yeah.
Because really, honestly, when I need a mover, I need a good mover. And I don't really care if he's a hot guy or not.
No, like, I feel like...
Granted, I'm not looking for hot guys in the first place. But I'm pretty sure most people who are like, you know what? I'm going to have all of my valuable stuff moved.
Yeah.
But it's got to be by an attractive person. That's what's most important.
Well, this is what I want to find out is, like, are they... Are they actually attractive? Okay, let's see. Here we go. Shirtless movers. Phoenix, Arizona. They have 5-star rating out of 7 reviews.
Yeah.
Let's see if this is the same one.
I mean, that seems like not bad. It's not a huge sample, but...
Is this the... It's loading. This thing?
Yep, that's it.
So, looking at it's like a moving truck, and then it's got a dude standing in front of it. He's in shorts and, like, a sleeveless shirt. And then, you know, there's, like, real ripped guy on the truck with no shirt.
Their logo looks like that. It has a muscly guy posing, but it looks like they basically ripped off the Buffalo Wild Wings logo.
Yeah.
And just put, like, a buff guy instead of a buffalo.
Yeah.
In there. I'm
trying to see. How do I see these reviews? Oh, goddamn it.
He's just, yeah, Peter's having a little bit of a hard time with the technology here.
I don't know how to work this. I think it's, like, wanting me, it's like, get this app, open, do it in the app. Everything's an app now. I tell you these motherfuckers, so I have the iPhone 4, not right. The 4S.
Right.
And I got this cool microphone for Christmas. And then, I went to hook it up and was like, oh, I need to download this app. And so I went to download the app, but I can't do it because I don't have the new iOS. So I was like, all right, well, I'll get the new iOS. And then I can't do that either because I'm like, I've been edged out of technology. It's like, your phone is too old. So you can't get that, and you can't get the app, and you can't even get the iOS to get the app.
You can't get the operating system on which the app operates.
Right.
Because your phone is, it's like when you had when you wanted to add that game to your computer and you realized that it still had a floppy drive on it.
Yeah.
And you were mad. It was like, what do you mean? I wanted to play Quake and it doesn't come on 8 million floppy disks?
Yeah, true. Let's see. Called this company from a Craigslist ad and, of course, had some reservations about them, but did not have to worry. Nicholas showed up the next morning as promised, did everything in a very professional manner. And my sister, who was handling this for me, had not one complaint. Well, okay. Let's see. Called this company at 9 a.m. and they had me moved in my second-story apartment the same day. They carried our large sectional up our very narrow concrete stairs and helped us assemble it. 2 men, 1 truck, tons of help. No hidden charges. I must admit that the men sounded a tad disappointed when we said they could keep their shirts on. So I asked them to show me their muscles, and I snapped a few photos. I like how they're like, oh, no, you can keep your shirts on. And the guys are just like, you know, I could see this because, like, I mean, we all know those dudes who are, like, ready to just take a shirt off at the drop of a hat.
Right.
They're just, like, whipping it off. Like, who's the guy? He used to do, like, a bunch of HGTV kind of stuff.
Oh, Poonmaster Flex?
No.
Oh, okay.
Ty Pennington.
Okay, yeah.
He was always like, well, it's time for me to put up this drywall, and then he would be whipping his shirt off all the time, and you're like, I mean, do you really need to whip? It's like Michigan in the winter right now, and you're whipping your shirt off, and you're like, well, I know it's the show, but also, like, he's clearly just into it, you know?
Right.
It's like, I take off my shirt. That's the thing I do.
Shirtless time.
Well, these guys are flexing. They said it was good experience. Let's see. Wow and wow. The service was unbelievable. The eye candy didn't hurt as well. My neighbors and friends are still talking about them. They are God sent by heaven to help you move.
That sounds like that was written by the moving company.
It does. Okay, here's one from a dude. Price was fair, polite, well-equipped. I don't give out five very often, but these men earned every one of them. Okay. That sounds a little sketchy.
Well, that sounds like, I mean... that's what I kind of wonder.
Sexual.
Yeah. Well, I also kind of wonder if there's sometimes like a divorced guy who doesn't really know what he's doing.
it
becomes the obvious solution to something. I did help some guys move their, like, where one guy move in a bunch of stuff when I was in college.
Yeah.
And that back when I was in college, I think I've told some of these stories on the podcast before, but like my college used to have this kind of like labor board.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, where you could sort of put in your name, and if someone called the university looking for like a temporary office worker or childcare or labor or something like that,
just some random ass thing,
right? And they, like, they would sort of call you up, or like the university would sort of refer them to, you know, give them your number.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of what happened was I had a lot of time spent like landscaping or moving divorced dudes around.
Yeah.
So my guess is that the divorced dudes are probably like, they're not, they know they need a move-in company. They don't really know where to look for one.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't just occur to them what to do.
Yeah.
So they're just driving by and they see a truck that has like shirtless male movers. They're like, it's movers.
They're like, who fucking cares?
Right. Or they don't even notice that it's like a, you know, shirtless or shirts on. They're like, eh, whatever. Movers.
Do you think anyone ever just calls them and is like, oh yeah, I just need this sofa moved from here to here? Over and over all day.
I'll bet someone's probably tried that, but...
it would be much cheaper than probably hiring a stripper. And then also you could... like, if you were having a bachelorette party, it could be like a rearranging furniture / bachelorette party. So you get something done and you have a party.
It's like some of the biggest... going back to that HGTV thing, like the biggest fan of, like, redecorating or arranging a house.
Yeah.
You know, in the way that, like, some bachelorette parties... I don't know what people actually do on bachelorette parties aside from go to bars and get drink and have penis-shaped things.
I've been around to two, and that's all we did.
So, that's... and yeah.
You go dancing.
Mm.
That's a must. Yeah, you kind of, like, become part of this group of people that's instantly recognized as being obnoxious.
Right. Like, because I've, you know, I've been around and... you know, been at a few bachelor parties, but they're, like, those seem to be very variable.
Yeah.
And that a lot of people, you know, most of the ones I've been to did not involve strippers or...
no.
You know, wild times like that. Most of the time it was, like, a guy was doing some kind of activity he really liked doing. Like, camping or golfing or...
yeah.
Going to, you know, some kind of baseball or football game or...
yeah. I was thinking that a smart thing to do, like, let's say you were never going to get married, is just to decide to have your bachelor party. You know, like, or if, you know, if you're 35 and you're like, I'm not anywhere near getting married, I'm just going to have my bachelor party now. And then just do it. Because then that way, here's the thing that's good about bachelor party. Like, all your friends can come.
Right.
It's like, normally people don't... you know, if you're like, let's just go, let's take a trip to Vegas or something. Mm-hmm. You know, your friends are like, oh, no. And like, no thanks.
Or they'll be like, why?
Yeah. But then if it's a bachelor party, it's like, well, we have to. We have no choice.
It's like, how many of these is he going to have?
Well, we'll see. Just every 3 years until I get married.
Well, I think one of those rules is that you only get one bachelor party. Like, I don't know very many people who've been married more than once.
Yeah.
But it does kind of seem like you can't... it's like you can only have so many... I don't know. I'm guessing there's a rule like you only get one bridal shower.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're getting married a second time, you don't get like a second bridal shower.
They should do the same thing for baby shower too. Be like, what happened to that fucking stroller I got you last time?
Not good enough?
Yeah. Would you throw that away? Those aren't disposable. Expensive. What did you do with all those baby toys?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I mean, that baby can wear the dress, boy, girl. It doesn't matter at that age. It's all the same.
Yeah.
It all blends together.
Yeah.
I don't need some kind of social construction of gender.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather go to a baby shower, I guess, a bachelorette party than a baby shower. If those are my options, I'm taking a bachelorette party every time.
Mm.
Baby showers are the worst.
The baby showers seem to be like the... people sitting around kind of in a circle.
Yeah.
and
watching someone boring
open gifts.
Presents.
Yeah,
it's not like they ever get something cool too. Like they're like, oh, that's fun. It's always like, yeah, plastic shitty bathtub that goes in your bathtub.
It's either something that's very like cute and worthless.
Yeah,
or you know, completely practical.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then it's like a thing that you're like, what is this thing? And they're like, oh, it's this weird thing that helps teach a baby how to sit up. And it looks like a toilet.
Right.
But they sit in it and then they can sit upright. And you're like, okay. So, well, that's good for the 3 months when they try to sit up but can't and then learn to and then never need this again. That's fun.
It seems
glad they made a device for that.
It seems like the kind of thing where you should just get like a two by like 2 2x4s with a hinge. And sort of put it together, and you can be like, it's a flexible baby hinge. You can use it to help the baby sit up or lie down.
Yeah.
You can use it to pinch the baby's fingers. So they learn.
I think it's so funny that, so they learn things. I think it's funny that they have these, like, devices for babies. Like, they still keep coming up with new devices and techniques for babies.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, when are we going to be like, all right, good enough? Like, they're surviving, they're fine. How good does it have to be for a baby? You don't even fucking remember when you were a baby.
Exactly. Maybe we would be much better off if we had, you know, the City Uppy chair.
Yeah.
We'd be at Harvard right now instead of podcasting.
Yeah, I'd be like Fort a Lupton. Superhero.
Yeah.
Because if I'd had that, it would all be different.
I wouldn't need to go to the airport. I'd be going to my private jet, which takes off when I get there.
Right, if you could have been helped to sit up earlier at a younger time, a younger age.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any New Year's resolutions for the year 2016?
I've not made a New Year's resolution for a long time.
Yeah.
Mostly just because if I need to make a change, I just have to do it when it comes up and not the new year.
Yeah.
I suppose. I think, but I was thinking about this last night actually.
Yeah.
As I was walking home from our friend Alex's house.
Uh-huh.
And I think one of my New Year's resolutions was to have, more of my good hours for me, if that makes sense. Where it's like, you know, you have those hours or that time of day that's like the best time of day where you feel the best.
Yeah.
You're the most productive.
It's like 7 to midnight for me.
Right. And that's the kind of thing where I realized I was giving a lot of my best hours to my work.
Yeah.
And my job. And, you know, it's not that they don't deserve it or whatever else, but I realized, like, the past year I was giving a lot of my, like, way too many of my good hours to my job.
Yeah.
And so I think what I was thinking about as a New Year's resolution is, like, more of my good hours to myself.
Yeah.
You know, on my own things, my own interests, and my own projects.
Yeah.
You know, or even just my own time. Like, not say, you know what, my work gets all of my best hours.
Yeah.
So.
What are your best hours?
I think, honestly, my best hours are probably between about 7 to, it's honestly like about 7 to 10.
Yeah. That's pretty close to me too. So like, would you spend that time like grading things and stuff like that?
Yeah,
grading
things and doing paperwork and
gotcha.
You know.
Yeah, and then you finish that and you're like, well, that's done and now I don't feel like doing anything else.
Right. And it was like usually I would try to finish stuff, you know, I'd be finishing stuff up at 7 or 8, but then I'd be like, you know, when I finished up, even if I was just finishing up work from like 7 to 8, or even just finishing at 7, by the time I got home, it would be 8. By the time I ate dinner, it would be like 9.
Yeah.
And then I have like, well, what am I going to do with this, you know, hour or so?
Yeah.
Before like, because after like 11 or so, I'm like, well, I got to start thinking about going to bed to go to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah. When your life starts to feel like I do everything in order to sustain my ability to go to work again.
Right.
And then I spend the weekends recovering and doing laundry so that I can resume the following week of work.
Right. And it's like I spend a lot of my time like cooking stuff so I have meals for the week.
Yeah.
Which I always appreciate because I save some money and those kinds of things, but
yeah, I do that a lot too.
I don't get to cook like the nice meals that I'm going to eat at home because everything I'm cooking is like the what will keep in my freezer, what can go in a Tupperware easily.
Yep.
You know, so I don't get to cook a lot of stuff that I like.
What are your go-to, I put this in a Tupperware and make a bunch of it, things?
I've made more like my own pasta sauce.
Yeah.
Because that's also like a good fun thing to do all day Sunday, like sort of just let it marinate.
Yeah.
It's a lot of lentils, actually.
Yeah.
So I make this. Actually, I've been making this soup a lot. This sort of like kale, white bean, and sausage. And I made it once, and Wilma really liked it.
Yeah.
And then we got the same soup from Whole Foods.
Yeah.
And it was gross. Like, it was so bad because it was dirty. Like, they hadn't washed the kale at all. Yeah, like, not at all. Because you would taste it, like, you would put it, you would eat it, and it would taste gritty.
Yeah.
And it's the, you know, if I go to a Fry's or a King Soopers for the Colorado audience, same company, if my soup is gritty, I'm like, I kind of expect that.
Yeah.
You know, that's not.
Well, sure.
Not what I, you know, it's not what I want, but I'm like, yeah, I can.
A ready-made soup from a Safeway or something is just like,
right.
You know, what do you want?
Yeah, it's kind of like, you're going to get those every now and then, but if it's Whole Foods,
yeah,
and you pay a lot for it, you're like, why is this not even washed?
Yeah. Whole Foods has some stuff, though. Like, I think one of the worst brownies I've ever had in my life was from Whole Foods. It was awful.
I no longer shop at Whole Foods because a Whole Foods crushed one of my colleagues in the door.
What does that mean?
Like, I have this colleague, and she's like, she's got a lot of disabilities. We'll just sort of say it. I don't know exactly what she's got, but she's just got a lot of them.
Sure.
But she's pretty old too.
Yeah.
She's like, I think in her late 60s or 70s or so.
Oh, okay.
But she also, like, before that, she had mobility problems, like problems walking around and everything else. And, you know, like, they have the little, you know, sort of disabled, like, the door, like, the sort of automatic door is supposed to, like, if it comes near you or if it touches you, it's supposed to, like, sort of bounce back.
Right.
But what the automatic door in this case did is, like, that electronic eye didn't work.
Yeah.
And so it just kind of kept pushing her until it pushed her over. So it just kept, like, going.
Oh, my God.
And so it knocked her down.
I assume I can see a video of this on the internet somewhere.
No. But, like, it knocked her down, and it completely, like, it broke her hip.
Oh, my God.
You know, and, like, or she fell, and she got a broken hip. And it was, like, a really bad broken hip, because it was, like, or, like, it dislocated her hip.
Yeah.
She was spasming, so that, like, she had this dislocated hip.
Oh, my God.
But what was insane about it is that, like, you know, she's talking with the Whole Foods people, and basically now her attorneys are talking with the Whole Foods people.
Yeah.
But they were saying, like, oh, yeah, that electronic eye, that's been broken for weeks.
Oh, yeah, we knew all about that.
It's like, oh, yeah, we totally knew about that. And it's, you're like, okay, did you have any plans to fix it? They're like, no. They had no, as far as I know, like, they knew it was broken. They had no plans to fix it.
Yeah.
Just none. And so I feel like Whole Foods is a place that crushes old ladies. So I'm not sure that they want that on a slogan, but...
Probably not.
Yeah.
We crushed old ladies.
We crush old ladies.
Well, I don't know. If I was looking for a place to get in and out and do some shopping quick, I'd be like, well, there's not going to be any old ladies here going up and down every fucking aisle with the cart.
Exactly. Yeah, if you can make it past the doors, it's like Indiana... It's like the Temple of Doom for shopping, where if you can make it through the doors...
I just had at the store an incident where I finally got revenge.
Okay.
On the so
you got revengeance, you would say?
Yeah, rising. So you go to the self checkout at the King Soopers, and for some reason every time I put in produce, it says like wait for attendant. You know, it's like you do it, you put it on the scale, and you put it in the bag, and it's like attendant has been notified to assist you, and then you just fucking stand there and wait for him, right? Which, by the way, when I told this to people, when I was like, here's what happens every time I do the produce, and they're like, well, you have to punch in the number. And I'm like, yeah, I know that. I'm not a fucking idiot. And then they're like, well, did you put it on the scale? And I'm like, guys, I'm following the directions. I do exactly what it tells me to do. It says parsley, 97 cents. I put it in the bag, and then it says the attendant must assist you. And then they push some button on their little tricorder, and then it just says, like, okay, scan your next thing.
Yeah.
And the price is the same. Everything stays the same. It just doesn't like it. I don't know why.
And so when you're, like, when the attendant comes over, you don't you want to just, like, signal them, like, look, just stay here.
Just,
because I have more produce coming, so you're going to just have to walk back and forth.
Just keep pushing the button. So, and this happens every time I go to the store. Like, once a week, I buy a bunch of vegetables, a bunch of different vegetables, and so it happens every time. So I was there one time, and, like, the lady, it was night, and she had to get cigarettes for someone else, and then you're just sitting there forever.
Oh, yeah.
So the last time I go, I have a whole thing of groceries, And I had a dozen eggs, and they were, you know, the ones that are like, you could pay a few more dollars and feel slightly less guilty about eating embryos. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, these chickens aren't,
these chickens aren't like tortured.
A square. Yeah. So I had those, and they fell on the floor right near the self-checkout and broke. A bunch of them broke. And so I go to the attendant guy and was like, hey, I just broke a bunch of eggs. Do you have anything to clean these up? And he's like, let me check. He's like looking around. I was like, really, this doesn't happen to you ever? You've never had broken anything?
A big spill of some kind.
Yeah, at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Where people are buying jugs and jars of shit left and right.
You have a store that's usually full, like most of the time, not when you go shopping, because you go shopping usually at the sort of pedophile hours.
Yes, totally.
But, like, you know, most of the day, the, like, stores are full of small children.
Yeah.
And odds are good they throw, like, one jar or drop something or just sticky anyway.
Or just something falls. I mean, yeah. I don't know. Once in a while. So he finds these, like, dry paper towel things, and we just wipe it up. And then, so then I was still going to buy the eggs because I was like, my fault. I broke them. He didn't even bring it up, you know. He is just like, whatever. So, but I was going to pay for them. And so I scanned them. And then it was like, attendant has been notified to assist you. This barcode is not found. And I was like, come on. But this time, usually it doesn't give you the option to hit go back.
Right.
This time it did. So I hit go back. I scanned them again. Mm-hmm. And still didn't work. And by the way, I've seen what's-her-face, Allison, this blonde lady on the King Soopers thing, more than I've seen any other person who works at King Soopers. Like, I've seen her so many fucking times on that stupid screen. It's like, this is my neighborhood King Soopers employee now, in my mind.
So, like, Allison, by the way, is the one that's, you know, she's on the screen when attendant's notified to assist you, right?
Yes. And okay. She's, like, standing there smiling, like, hey, what can I do for you? And I'm like, that's not who's there. It's some guy named Grinch.
Right.
Who, you know, got fired from the cigar store for being too abrasive and is just standing there miserable and confused.
He's trying to get his e-cigarette business off the ground and... Yeah, a little capital.
Yeah, not only that, but like if I have produce, if I get something like kale or chard,
right,
and or parsley, they'll come up to me and be like, "What is this?" And I'm like, first of all, it says on the little thing that goes around it. Secondly, don't you fucking work here? I don't work here, and I know what this stuff is. I go to a King Soopers and take them up a piece of ginger root. They'll think you brought a part of a mummy into the store with you.
They'll think you just, like, got a dirt clod.
Yes. They're like, is that... You don't have to buy things that are on the floor. You can just have them. I mean, did you cut off someone's thumb and just wrap it in something and now you have it?
I mean, this will sound a little bit dishonest, but, like, sometimes... whenever I've gone through, like, the regular aisle, if I go through the self-check thing, I always wind up, if I get the organic produce, I always type in the organic, because I'm like, I know what it is. But, like, sometimes when it's the checker, they almost never type in that it's organic.
No.
They just, like, say, it's
Belgium. Well, because they memorize one carat,
right.
You know, one kind of carat code, and they're just like, fuck it. Mm-hmm. I'm not memorizing different codes for every different kind of carat. Well, that's the other thing is, like, I usually put in the organic one because, like, it's confusing on which ones are which.
Right.
The carrots are the worst. Because, so you put in carrots. If you put in bulk carrots, it charges you, like, for a $32 bag of carrots. Like, a pallet of carrots, which I don't even know where those are in the store. Like, I don't think that's a thing you can even fucking buy there. But it's like, oh, you bought this Santa sack full of carrots that just infinitely... produces carrots, and
you
I'm
bought
like
Bugs Bunny's layer of carrots.
Yeah, it, like, doesn't even let you weigh it, which I'm like, if it just had a barcode, I would just scan it. I wouldn't put in a fucking thing.
Like, do you think anyone would buy, like, a big, you know, if you could just buy all of your food in a sack, would you do it? Like, in other words, you could just show up to the grocery store
and they just give me a sack of stuff,
and it would have your name on it. It would just say Peter.
Does it have what I want, or is it like just a
And it has what you generally want. So, like, if you're cooking, it's like your staple items.
Yeah.
And then it would do sort of like the, one of those CSA things where it throws in, like, random bits of produce, like, that are in season.
I mean, yeah, it'd probably be. I would, I don't know. Maybe. It sounds like one of those, like, Blue Apron things where you order the food and it's like, it gives you the meal and it gives you ingredients and stuff. But then part of me feels like, well, what am I paying? What I'm paying for must be a lot more than just the groceries. I'm getting fucked somewhere. I know it.
Like, I have those friends who do those CSA things.
What is that?
Where it's like, basically what it is like you sort of get a box of produce.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like sort of like a co-op thing.
Yeah.
Which I've never understood because, like, whenever they get it, there's always a, you know, I can tell when those boxes come out because I'll see in my Facebook feed, there's always a, like, three or four people saying, does anyone want X?
I know.
And it's like, does anyone want turnips?
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't.
Yeah,
no.
They're like, I got a whole huge crate of sugar beets here.
Right.
And I, you know, now I'm, or zucchini in the summer. My God. If you ever want to know a vegetable that's impossible to get rid of, it's zucchini. Everyone has zucchini. No one wants your zucchini. Stop asking.
I think, well, that's just because I think our mom has a lot of zucchini.
No, everybody does. Yeah. Around here, maybe. Everyone, it's like the easiest thing to grow. And everyone can do it. And then they turn out giant. And also, zucchini is good in, like, five things. It's, like, good in pasta. And then it's good in, like, zucchini bread.
You put it on salads.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you start, like, well, what's a soup that has zucchini in it that I can eat in the summer? Or, like, maybe zucchini could be on a sandwich. And then you're, like, nope, no, it can't.
You're like, what? You sort of have way more zucchini than you actually have use for it.
Yeah, or, like, pumpkin. And then you're like, I mean, there's like three things you can eat. And then you're just like, I don't know, can I eat chili out of a pumpkin? Like it's a bread bowl.
A chili bowl just made out of like a hollowed out pumpkin.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be like a lot of chili too. Like even a small pumpkin.
Yeah, you'd have to make a tailgating amount of chili in order to fill a pumpkin. It'd be a pretty good idea though.
Yeah, that would.
I'm kind of into it. Yeah, I feel like that, you know, when people get those things, they get a bunch of shit they don't want. Mm-hmm. And it's like, but they're like, oh, but it's so fresh and whatever. And it's like, okay, but if you're not going to eat it, who cares?
Yeah, you don't need a lot of fresh rhubarb because you don't eat any rhubarb.
Yeah, right. Oh, my God, look at all this rhubarb. Well, great. That's great. I'd rather have an Oreo. I'd rather have one Oreo than that whole box of rhubarb.
It's that sort of, because it's so cheap, it must be good. But it's like, well, it doesn't matter if it's free if you don't want it.
No.
It's like, you know what, there's a bunch of cardboard boxes, speaking of that sort of going back to that moving thing. It's like, there's always cardboard boxes around.
Yeah.
But you're not, like, hoarding cardboard boxes.
No.
It's like, 'cause it's totally worthless to me.
Right, yeah. I'll get them when I need them, and then when I don't, I won't.
I will buy rhubarb when I need rhubarb.
Yeah.
I don't need rhubarb right now, and I don't need to, like, reorient my life toward dealing with all this rhubarb.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's, like, you know, we've uncovered the two keys to life here. Save your good hours for yourself.
Yep.
And then go through your house, stop getting the extra rhubarb, and, you know, start throwing out that shit that if you were moving, you know, when you've got 1 ounce of ranch dressing left and it's expired.
Yeah.
Go ahead and throw it out. Just throw it away. It's fine.
It's not that you're not wasting food. You've wasted that food. That's already gone.
Yeah, that's a good point. You're not creating waste. That's already garbage.
Yeah.
The case to the Lion King soundtrack on cassette with no cassette in it, even if the cassette was in it, is pretty much garbage. But with no cassette is 100% garbage, and it's already garbage. It doesn't make it not garbage because you keep it in your house. You're just keeping garbage in your house.
Right. It's go through, find what, you know, realize that much more things are garbage than you're willing to admit at first.
Yeah.
But once you do, you'll say, okay, I'll go through those things. I'll stop saving those spaghetti sauce jars with the idea of like, oh, I'm going to use these for something.
Yeah.
And say like, I have to start using the jars I actually have.
Right.
Like, nope, just recycle it, throw it out.
Yeah, if I start running out of jars, I'll change my tune.
Exactly.
That's not happening anytime soon.
Right.
All right. Well, thanks for coming again. And I'm sure we'll hear from you again someday before too long.
Hopefully pretty soon. We'll be able to Skype in more often because Robotron is dead.
Yeah, now that we have a real computer that works.
Yeah.
You can use the Skype on the phone.
That's right.
And, you know, we'll definitely have to see you for a helpful Snowball 2013 Part 2.
That's right. The
Revengeance-ing.
The Revengeance-ing.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
See you next time.
See you later.